This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 130.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say.
Hello, and welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese picture Goodfellas one dead minute at a time. If you stick around,
dead.
I'm Ron Richards, and with me is Josh Flanagan.
Dead.
And Connor Kilpatrick.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
Carrying around in your pocket.
Speaking of which, this minute starts with $3,200, and it ends with Jimmy telling Karen that Henry needs to call him.
You know, just to have a chat.
He should call him.
Just have a friendly chat.
He just wants to know what's going on. That's all it is. So we pick up. Paulie has turned his back on Henry, and Henry makes his way out of the bar, social club, wherever he is in, and we get to see a wider shot of what else is going on. And the first thing I would like to mention is, who is Tootie with?
Right, sort of the Godfather-esque couple.
Well, one of them is Scorsese's father.
Right.
What's the character's name?
Vinny?
Yeah, Vinny. But there's also an old Italian lady who's getting up from a meeting or a lunch or something, and they're just watching her get up.
She looks like she's coming from a funeral.
Yeah, dressed in black, got a beret.
It's weird.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, Vinny. Very weird, but even weirder is that. So the money we discussed yesterday is $3,200, which Henry says in the voiceover is not even enough for the coffin.
Yep.
Which, it's a pricey coffin.
Well, is that your fun fact, Connor?
No, my fun fact is that the average coffin these days costs $2,000, unless you go for one of them classy jobs,
right?
Like with mahogany and bronze and copper. Then you run $10,000, which is what $3,200 is in today's dollars is $9,200. So
right, yeah. So that was my thought too. Was that he says, you know, that so Paulie hands him $3,200. That's it. He gave him a lifetime. And all he gets is $3,200. My first thought was, what Henry expects some sort of package?
Right.
Like some sort of severance? Yeah, like
what? Let's see. You've been with the company for 30 years.
Yeah.
1 week's salary for 30 years.
$1,000 a year. Or no, $100 a year.
I mean, but basically, like, he's lucky he's not.
He's Cobra?
Right. He's lucky he's not dead. You know, right. So that's one thing. But the second thing is, this is not even going to pay for the coffin. He must want a really ornate coffin.
Right.
Yeah, like the really
look
nice
at his house.
Yeah, exactly. Because the thing is that if coffins starting at $2,000 now,
that's the average.
What is that, like $800 in 1980? Or were they always that? Or is it the kind of thing where coffins are always $2,000?
Tell you something. I don't know anything about coffins.
Okay. It's probably a good thing to not know anything about.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of things that I'm willing to put my 2 cents in on, thinking things I'm going to, you know, sort of speculate about. I'm going to just move on. I don't know about coffins. I'm not going to try to pretend otherwise.
And what's interesting is that there's no coffin cost calculator, like, they're on the internet.
Well, you gotta believe that, like, with inflation, like everything, it used to cost less. So it's
right.
Listen, I don't need one of those fancy jobs.
Like, you know, there's certain things that you have to buy from a dealer, and there's not really a way to get it at a lower price.
Is there an Amazon discount for a car?
Yeah, like an Apple product. They kind of cost what they cost. You can't get it. You got to go.
Right. That's my question. Are they just always $2,000?
No. That's the thing. That's the average price if you just want a standard one. But if you want like a nice one with mahogany and brass or copper or even bronze, then you're talking about $10,000 for a coffin.
Now, and so
how much for one of those sort of things where they turn you into a tree like in 6 feet Under?
Now, that said, though, I think out of the three of us, am I the only one who's gone to funerals in Brooklyn of elder Italian folk? So that said, the coffins tend to err on the side of extravagant.
Oh, I think that we can, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe Henry is right in terms of he's plotting for something a little more expensive than the standard pine box job.
It's all about pride at that point.
The few wakes I've been to, the coffins were very, very nice.
Beautiful coffin.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
Barrett Josh like he's a cowboy. Pine box. Yeah,
totally.
So now. Moving on from the coffin.
MDF.
Moving on from the coffin, as Henry walks out, we have Tootie and Vinny with the old lady, and then there's three guys at the bar who watch. Are these like the next generation?
The next generation. They're the ones who are going to bring the mafia down.
Yeah. Are these the Henry and the Carbones of 1980 that was of 1970 that are 1980? Is this John Gotti and his buddies? Like who are these? The young guns.
Well, the one big guy in the middle looks kind of like a lumberjack.
And then the one closest to the camera's kind of got a cowboy shirt on, kind of.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, I just like how they're the unidentified, like, I just assume that these are the next generation of thugs.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
They're the young guns in the bar.
Yeah. Also, everyone has little espresso mugs in front of them.
It's probably early.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like morning.
So is that Polly's breakfast? Six sausages to start the day?
Well, it's more like lunch, I think. I think it's lunchtime, maybe.
Is that a good meal to start the day? Six sausages? That's like the time Josh and I had two steaks each for breakfast.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
I would like to know
turns out that's not true.
I would like to know who the elder gentleman is that parades through the bar after Henry leaves off camera.
It's a weird shot. They hold it, and it's almost out of place in the film.
Right, and that guy, the white hair guy who walks off camera, he's very happy to be doing what he's doing.
I'm in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oop-de-doo.
Oh gosh,
it's weird.
All right, so
especially after the emotional gut punch that we just witnessed.
Yeah,
just a bizarre juxtaposition of what we see here.
Yeah. So then Henry goes back home and presumably reports back to Karen that he's cut out and he's trying to convince her that they need to run because if they stay here, they're dead. And once again, Karen is looking very contemporary.
She just came back from a jog.
Yeah. I don't know. She's just showered or what is she? Yeah.
She does look like she's just showered. I noticed that too. Yeah. My first instinct is she had just showered. Then my second one was like, wait, was like a wet look popular at this point? Like, is she doing that on purpose? I don't know.
I feel like she must have just gotten out of the shower.
Well, let's go with that. Let's really discuss what's going on with Karen in this minute, and that is whatever's up with that jacket in the next scene where she's gone to see Jimmy, and the scrunched up sleeves, the big shoulders, the big lapels, all in leather.
It's 1980.
This is around the first point where I'm looking at this and going, okay, that I remember.
Yep.
I mean, the other stuff, I sort of remember it sort of in aggregate, you know, from other history sources. I have a primary source on this one.
Yep. Yeah, this catches up to our memory of this time very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Volvo and the jacket.
For that fashion faux pas?
I just remember people dressing like that.
Yep.
And, of course, it was like 4 years later than that because I grew up in Maine.
Right, and I mean, this look went on like
for a long time.
I want to say like 88. Like it went on.
Beginning of Friends, they were still dressing like
this. But it's interesting. So this is fairly accurate to what happens in real life, and that Karen is going to see Jimmy. In reality, as it laid out in the book, was that they both Karen and Henry mentioned in the book that from the moment that everyone found out that Henry got arrested, Jimmy and his wife Mickey were constantly calling, and they knew that Mickey was calling to feed information to Jimmy and constantly saying, what can we do to help? What's going on? Tell us what's going on. All because Jimmy is so paranoid about what Henry might say.
Or Jimmy is not being subtle.
Yeah.
Jimmy is not being subtle.
He's being subtle, but he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are they asking Jimmy about?
Yeah.
Just you know.
What kind of questions they ask him, you know? And
he doesn't know how to be smooth. He's just blunt. It's all he can do.
Yeah.
Again, though, like there's a little earlier where like Karen thinks that Henry's being paranoid.
Yeah.
He's not, though.
No, well, this is where she'll start to realize he's not being paranoid.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying she's still again, little babe in the woods going on there.
Until next week.
Yeah.
A little bit. I like how she, you know, like as she's telling Jimmy what's been going on and she's telling, you know, Jimmy's like, how is he? And she's like, well, it sobered him up. You know, like she almost sees like, is this a good thing? You know? Like they're gonna get past what they're doing, but
it isn't.
I know, yeah. But the weight you can see the weight on her shoulders, and she even says it that you know they've got no money. The kids are old enough to read the papers, and I gotta wonder what those articles were like.
Not good.
Yeah.
Above the fold.
So this is also the beginning of Jimmy's amazing glasses.
Oh, that's what I've you beat me to it.
Which is we're gonna see for the rest of the film.
Old Jimmy and then the beginning of the saga of Jimmy's glasses. Right now, we have some reasonably sized reading glasses, it appears. But hold on, kids. Just wait.
This is middle-aged Jimmy.
Yep.
Nothing cool about him anymore.
Nope.
This isn't Jimmy sidling into the illegal gambling den.
This is no short sleeve jacket, Jimmy.
Well...
I do like the glasses on the bridge of the nose, reading the document, then looking at Karen with the scrunched face.
Yeah.
Like it's an elder Jimmy look, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Still and great hair though.
And still great hair. See, he looks. He looks really good in this scene. Actually, a good suit.
This old Jimmy look is better than actual old De Niro look.
Yes.
I think I just narrowed in on something. Because every time I see De Niro now, I'm like, something's wrong.
Well,
and I think it's that I expected him to look old.
You expected him to look like this. You expected him to look 25 years younger, but with a gray wig.
Like trim. You know, there was a point where that went. You could just right at the end. Actually, if you watch Casino, that's the end of it right there. After that, it goes.
So here's a question. If they took Robert De Niro in this costuming... in 1990, and then made The Intern, then would that have been a bigger hit?
Oscar.
you tell me you wouldn't have seen it? You would have seen it wrong.
Yeah. What's it? Bad Grandpa, Dirty Grandpa, Dirty something?
Yeah.
I'm very – because we're so deep.
Does he have a tax bill or something?
I know.
We're so deep into this show that that commercial came on, and I made a face like somebody taking those sausages and just throwing them on the ground.
Yeah.
Just stomped on them. And why is this happening? And there wasn't even much in that commercial. Then I saw a trailer later and I was horrified.
Yeah, and it's like he's repaying favors before he dies.
Let's stop talking about this.
This
is an important moment for Karen. This is where she realizes for sure
what the stakes are.
Right, this scene, which we're going to get steaks? More next. There's steaks?
No. STAKs, yeah. You know, next week we'll get into it, but which is a highly contested scene. This is the beginning of it. Jimmy's probing, Jimmy trying to get information out of her. I think even in this minute, you see her start to realize that he's just trying to get to the meat of it. So
what?
Would you stop talking about meat?
I can't stop!
I'm just going to make it all.
I'm going to make all this meat, so... All right. Anything else in this minute?
Yeah, the fuck count for this minute is 0. The fuck count for the week is 7. The total fuck count is 305.
So we've passed the 300 mark.
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yes.
So, all right. All right. Well, that's gonna wrap it up for minute 130. It's gonna wrap it up for this week. And you guys, it's Friday. You know what that means?
It's time to party.
Time to open the books.
Oh.
For the what is it? Omerta. What was it? What is it called? The code of silence, which is the opposite of what we're doing. We're going to be opening up the books. We've got two patrons, lovely supporters of the show. They went to patreon.com/GFM and they signed up and they raised their hand and they said, I want to support Goodfellas Minute. It's my favorite podcast. And so to thank them, we are going to give them their own mafia name, their own mafia nickname. And kicking things off, Gareth Hughes gets a mob name. So guys, what is it going to be?
Tiny.
Tiny?
I don't know. I'm still thinking about sausages. Let's think of a sausage-based name. Sausages.
Casing. Gary Casing.
Oh. Pork. Did pork chop already.
Lynx. Pork. Lynx.
Lynx? What are some of those weird Italian words you use for sausage?
Chivalade. Chivalade.
Chivalade Hughes.
No, that doesn't work. You can't call somebody Chivalade.
Gary Chivalade.
No.
I love that. Come on.
No.
Well, it's Gareth.
Gareth, no, yeah, it's Gareth.
Gary Chivalade?
Salsiccia is sausage in Italian. Salsiccia.
Why not just Gary Sausages?
Gary Sausages?
Well, because his name's not Gary first.
We're nicknaming him.
I like Gary Chivalade.
No, because I don't even know how to spell Chivalade. That's the problem.
I like Gary Sausages.
I like Gary Sausages a lot.
All right, so Gary Sausages? Okay.
That's a good name.
All right. It should be noted that Gareth is a good guy. Gareth's actually also a podcaster. He does a podcast called Just Not Sports. You guys should check out. It's pretty good.
Does he talk about sausages on it?
I haven't listened to every episode, but they're not talking about sports, so they could be talking about sausages on it.
It's not ruled out, I think, at least from the title.
Yeah, just not sports. So going into the mafia name generator, Gareth Hughes, or Gary Sausages, as he's known around here, he would be Shoot 'em Up Roberto.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I think he's getting off easy with Gary Sausages.
All right.
Gary Sausages. Shoot 'em Up Roberto.
So Gareth Hughes, also known as Gary Sausages. And then our next supporting patron is David B. Cooper, also known as D.B. Cooper.
Uh-oh.
Cowboy?
Trigger?
Cowboy Cooper? Why the Cowboy? David the Cowboy?
Why Trigger?
It's another Gary.
Finger. The Finger.
Shane?
Shane? But with a question mark.
Coop?
Shane.
David. Davey Shane's.
David All This Meat Cooper.
Stick Up. Stick 'em up.
Two Guns Cooper.
Two Guns Cooper. Trigger Man Cooper. Trigger.
Davey Two Guns.
Trigger.
Headstone.
Tombstone.
Coffin.
These are just comic book characters now. Tombstone.
Tombstone. The Owl.
The Coffin.
Kang.
There was the Scorpion. There was.
There was Boomerang. There was Whiplash. There was all of Iron Man's 80s villains. There was Mandarin.
D.B. Cooper.
Mad Dog.
The Wisp.
Are we concerned that this is actually D.B. Cooper or no?
Probably not.
Chances are not. Chances are low.
It's more likely that they would discuss sports on that other show than this is Gary, than this is D.B. Cooper.
What about Crazy Legs?
Crazy Legs.
That was a G.I. Joe paratrooper.
Yeah. Went deep with that one.
Babyface? We don't have any baby faces. We don't have
those weren't mafia guys. Those were bank robbers.
Listen, you tell me there wasn't one baby face.
What about
Babyface Cooper?
What about Cookie?
Chugs?
Chugs?
Chugs. I made a sound. It doesn't have
to. So let's move away from puns since we're doing badly with the pun name puns. Let's just think of what a cool nickname would be.
Little Davy?
No.
That's just weak.
Big Davy? Big Dave? Downtown Dave?
Wait, hold on. I like
MTV VJ?
I like geography.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah,
let's look, Hempstead Dave.
Davy Streets.
That's just generic. What's something D in Brooklyn or Queens? What's a neighborhood in Brooklyn or Queens that it starts with a D?
Sunnyside.
Ditmars?
Ditmars. Davy Ditmars.
Ditmars Dave.
Ditmars Cooper.
Ditmars Cooper.
It's got to be Davy Ditmars. That's how it would have been.
All right, let's go, whatever.
Davy Ditmars?
Yeah.
I used to live in Ditmars.
Yeah, Davy Ditmars. There we go. It could be Davy DeKalb.
DeKalb. The only guy up there that the Greeks will work with.
All right, Davy Ditmars, and it's a nod to the shooting locations of the movie. So there you go.
Ooh, nice work.
All right, Davy Ditmars. That said, though, the Mafia name generator disagrees.
Uh-oh.
And David B. Cooper would be Claudio Crackhead.
That's just racist.
I think so, yeah. So
technically, it's more the Astoria Boulevard area. Ditmars is another. Anyway,
nonetheless. All right. Well, thank you, Gareth Hughes and David B. Cooper, for your support of the show, and we apologize for your poor, poor mafia nicknames that you've gotten.
They can't all be gold.
All right. So that's going to wrap it up for minute 130 and wrap us up for this week, this rough sausage-filled week. So stay tuned till Monday for minute 131. We're so close, guys. We're so close.
Just eat all this meat. Let's get it done.
Make sure you follow us on social media on Twitter at Goodfellas Min and on Instagram, Facebook at Goodfellas Minute. And of course, go to GoodfellasMinute.com where you can find a link to support the show at GoodfellasMinute.com/support. And you can go to Patreon.com/GFM to sign up to become a patron for the show and still get your mafia nickname. We're going to get them all in before we end recording. So there might be a gap, but we're going to do our best. So yeah, do that. If you got any questions or any suggestions on how to cook sausage, you can email us at contact@goodfellasminute.com. And of course, if you enjoy what we do, check out our sister site over at ifanboy.com, where we talk about comic books every week. And you might hear terms like Whiplash and Scorpion come up there. And of course, listen to our friends over at Star Wars Minute at StarWarsMinute.com. They are the originators of this format, so we believe, and they're very good at it, and they're enjoying The Phantom Menace as we speak. And check out Gareth's podcast at JustNotSports.com. All right, so until then, or until Monday, I'm so done. Good night.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.